Chapter 6, long story in chapter 6. We're going to talk about faith. And the concept here, very simply, is that faith is reaching beyond ourselves. That if I just stick to myself, I don't stand much of a chance. I have to reach beyond myself. And that takes courage, it's a risk, all that stuff. So we'll get there at the end, I hope. We're going to talk about the disciples. Then we're going to talk about the folks and the crowds. Then we're going to talk about the story of feeding the folks. And then hopefully we're going to bring it all back together again and make sense out of all of it. So here we go. We'll start with the disciples first. And to make sense of this and to follow the progression, we'll start at chapter 4. For the disciples, it's the end of chapter 4. But when we get to the crowds, it'll be all through chapter 4, 5, and 6, and the same for these guys. So at the end of 4, they're in the boat, they're heading across the sea. Jesus is asleep, the wind, the waves, all that stuff. They wake him up, they're scared to death. He says, "Wind be still, sea be still," it is. And then they said, "Holy cow, who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this?" So they have a question of faith at the end of 4. Bold assumption, wherever Jesus goes, the 12 go. So you go into chapter 5, and the disciples are hanging out with Jesus, and they experience 3 other incredible blessings through the hands of Christ into people's lives. The demonic in the cemetery, the woman with the bleeding issue from last week, and then Jairus' daughter. So in the boat, it's like, who is this? We've never seen this before. Holy smokes. And they go right into those 3 stories, and now they're going to experience other people's faith and the blessings that come into their lives because of their faith. Let's get into 6. They're still with Jesus. Jesus goes to the hometown, tries to help the folks at the hometown. They have little faith, can't really do much. So that's kind of a washout when he goes home. And they see that the people in his hometown who lack faith get nothing back. They get nothing back. Then he sends them out into pairs. He pairs them up and sends them out. And they go out. We don't know how long they're out, but they're out for a while, apparently. And then while they're out, they're healing and teaching people. So they pair them up, send them out. They're healing and they're teaching people. And finally, they report back to Jesus. And that's where we pick up the reading. They come back and they report back to Jesus. And they're overwhelmed then with the very next challenge he lays at their feet. Feed these people. So you see, when you take a look at the end of 4, where they're asking that question, who is this? And then they see people who are healed and touched because of a little bit of faith on their part. And then he sees the lack of faith in Jesus' hometown and the lack of healing. And then they go out in pairs and they're doing all this healing work. It's got to begin to register in their hearts and their minds somewhere that there must be something about believing that empowers us to receive the blessings of God. But they drop the ball then when a challenge comes to feed these people. Hang on to that. The people. Chapter 4. It says, very large crowds followed Jesus. It doesn't say large crowds. It says, very large crowds follow Jesus in chapter 4. Chapter 5, Jesus goes to the hometown. The folks in the hometown look at him. They say, hey, wait a minute. We know this guy. This is just Mary and Joseph's kid, isn't it? Yeah. Jesus, yeah. Well, he's nobody. He can't do anything. Who the heck is this guy rolling into town thinking he's some kind of big shot? And so they have little faith in him. The town people want him to leave. Remember, he's there with the demonic in the cemetery, and he takes the demons, throws them into pigs. They jump into the pond, and the people are okay with that until the pigs jump into the pond and say, oh, seriously, now we got to clean this up, and so we probably just need you to leave. When he leaves, large crowds follow him to Jairus' home. And you remember in the story from last week, the woman with the bleeding issue touches his robe. He says, hey, who touched me? And there's so many people surrounding him from the large crowds that the disciples say, are you crazy? It could have been any of these people. What are you asking? I mean, it could have been anybody touched you. Look at all these people. Now, 6. He goes to the hometown people. They lack faith. They see him only in human terms. We know him, Mary and Joseph's boy. What can he do? Not much. And they expected much, not much out of him, and they received what they expected. Not much. And the scriptures say he could do no great works there because the people just didn't believe in him, just didn't believe. Now the disciples are there with him, and they see this as well. The multitudes are healed by the disciples. This is still in chapter 6. He sends them out in pairs, and they're going out touching people, healing people, teaching people. So you have this vast multitude of people being touched and healed by the disciples. Then they gather together when they see Jesus and the boys coming across the pond there, the lake, and they gather around, and he feeds 5,000 plus moms, dads, wives, kids, and all of that. He feeds all these people. And then when they leave, they follow him around the lake, and they minister to him again. And so when you look at the disciples and you look at the people, you can see very separate actions taking place, very separate and distinct actions. When you put them all together, a few things just kind of rise to the surface. There's an overwhelming need in humanity for the peace, the healing, the love, and the grace of God. Otherwise, thousands and thousands of people wouldn't have followed him. And thousands of people wouldn't have submitted themselves to the teaching and the touching of the disciples. So this is just this inborn need in people's lives to have what God has to offer. And the same is true today. I don't think anything has changed. The same is true today. Only the difference is that in the culture of today, we've seemed to find so many things that we think take the place of the healing, the love, and the nurture, and the grace of God in our lives, that we go do those instead. So just speaking in context of coming to worship on a Sunday morning, I think that if people really realized that they needed to be in community and they needed to be in a sense of worship to the God who created them and wants to touch them, you wouldn't be able to find a place to sit in here. Have chairs in the aisle. We'd have more services. We'd have services on Saturday, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. You'd be mad because your favorite little place to sit would be gone. Some stranger sitting there. So you wouldn't like that much. But somehow society seems to have adapted extremely well in thinking that they really just don't need the power and the presence of God in their lives to the extent, now just talking about in the realms of Sunday worship, that's all I'm saying, in the realms of Sunday worship, that it's worth the effort to go to church. Such grace is freely given to those who seek it. If you go back to the three in chapter 5, the demonic and the woman and Jairus and his daughter, they sought through faith a gift of God, and they all received it. Jesus goes to the hometown. The people don't seek anything of him. What do they get? Nothing. They get just what they thought. Nothing. So to those who seek him in some realm of faith, they receive. Now, they may not always receive what they think they should get, and they may not always receive in a timely manner, and they may not think be able to see the revelation of what they receive because they're in such dire straits at the moment of seeking it. But they'll still receive it. Those who seek it will receive it. May not be what they think it should be, not, may not be when they think it should be, and they may move through the situation with a drastic end to it, and it may be a long time down the road before they ever discover why, if they ever discover why, the event took place to begin with. So it's freely given to those who seek it. The disciples, if you look at their progress, the disciples are very slowly learning. Their learning curve is more of a little gradual incline. It's not like a curve. It's just like creeping up, and it drops, and it creeps up, and it drops, and it creeps up. They're slowly learning to trust in Jesus, that there's something going on in him that they need. And they're slowly developing a willingness to surrender their lives to him in the midst of everything else that's going on in their lives, to allow him to work through their lives, which is what he did when he sent them out in pairs. He worked through them to touch and to heal people. And so they're slowly, slowly, slowly beginning to embrace that. So when we stick the whole thing all back together, disciples and the people back together, we find that faith is yielding the grace, the blessings, the love, and the wholeness of God, yielding to those in our lives. And to do it, we have to reach beyond ourselves. You have to reach beyond yourself. If I look back, pretty much everything I've ever done, when I've done it on my own, it hasn't been good. Because those decisions were made with my own limitations of whatever, wisdom or whatever, and they didn't turn out good. You know, I'd be hard-pressed to find a time when I did something strictly by Kip Younger that it turned out exceedingly well. I'd be hard-pressed to find that. But there's a multitude of times when I've had to reach beyond myself, my limitations, my capacity to do whatever or to be, and the results have just been overwhelming because it wasn't me, it was me reaching beyond. And faith is the ability to simply trust and reach beyond. You don't know what's out there. It's all dark. It's scary. It's nasty. It's messy sometimes. But if you look inside, the picture's not much better. So why would we not just reach beyond and trust in something that's greater and bigger than ourselves? That takes us to the story, because the story is an illustration of people who find it difficult to reach beyond. So here's the situation. Disciples have returned from being out in pairs. They're all excited. They're telling stories. They're comparing their stories. They're hooping and hollering, telling jokes. They're having a great time. They're all just sitting around talking to one another. The pairs have probably split up by now, and they're each telling their little stories about they did this, they did that. Now they're trying to build on those stories, so my story is better than your story. And they're kind of giving them a little flavoring maybe, and they're going on and on and on, and they're laughing, and they're in amazement, they're just hooting and hollering, having a great, great time. They're pumped up, they're excited because they have healed people. They have touched someone and commanded healing in that person's life. And darn, they stepped back and watched it happen. I mean, that's big stuff. And they did it over and over and over and over and over. And they sat down and they taught people. So when he began to communicate to people, they discovered that the words they were saying really weren't their words. They were words that were just coming to them from somewhere, and it had to be from God. And so they found themselves doing and speaking and teaching in a capacity they'd never experienced before. And they were pretty darn pumped up. They're excited. Woohoo! And they're talking about all of this. And so Jesus says, y'all too high. Y'all need to calm down. Let's go somewhere and take a little rest. Well, the large crowd see him and they follow and they swarm around him. And then they get there and Jesus is like, wow, no rest for the weary. And he begins to teach. They run out of time and he challenges the disciples to feed the folks. So that's the situation. It's pretty easy. And so we take a look at that situation in two perspectives, Jesus' perspective and the disciples' perspective. On Jesus' side, his perspective is, he saw them, he had compassion on them. He has the heart of God. And so his heart says, holy cow, these people need something. And so he gives them his grace, his peace, his hope, his love. He begins to teach and touch and heal and all that great stuff, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd are folks who have no distinct focus in their lives that is above and beyond them, that gives them a set course to follow their lives. They just go hither and on and do what they want to do, and they think this is a good thing, or they think this is a good thing, or this, they get tired of this and go over here and do this for a while. But it's just kind of aimless. They're confused. They have no direction. And that's the way he sees them. And so he tries to teach them and heal them and minister to them to show them that he has what they need in their lives to set a course on so they can have a direction in life. Because he has a heart of God. He's filled with compassion. And he wants to give that to them. So that's his perspective. That's the way he sees it. Pretty good. Disciples don't see it that way. They look at these people and say, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Look at all these people. What time is it? Oh no. Hey, listen. Psst. Let's get these people out of here, all right? Can you just wrap this up and let's get these people out of here? Look what time it's getting to be. Send these people home. They got to go eat. Hey, listen. We're hungry too. We haven't eaten. We haven't gotten any rest. You know, you said we're going to get away somewhere and be restful and eat. That never happened. Look at us now. So let's just wrap this thing up. You know what they're doing? They're just looking at the circumstance. They're looking at the situation, and their human logic says to them, this is not good. This isn't going to work. Got too many folks here. Too many folks. So human logic, based upon human care and concern, says, send them away. They can take care of themselves. Send them away. And if we were there with them that day, we might be saying, yep, send them away. We're tired. We're hungry. We're grouchy. Get rid of them. As soon as they get out of here, we're all going somewhere to eat. Woo-hoo! And then we'll relax. Just makes sense. So Jesus, hearing that, doesn't give in to that. He doesn't say, oh, yeah, look what time it is. Yeah, you guys are right. Nah. He says, here's a thought. Now, remembering they just got back from being in pairs, hooping and hollering about all the great stuff they did, yes? He says, you give them something to eat. You feed them. Remember all the things you just talked about, all the cool stuff you just did? Here's another opportunity. Here's a big one. You got 5,000 men, their wives, their kids, their brother-in-laws. All. This is huge, guys. You feed them. And they looked at him and they said, what, are you crazy? It'd take more money than we've ever seen in our entire lives. And we don't have anywhere to go buy the bread. So this is ludicrous. Again, they're just saying to him what we might have said to him. You must be nuts. There's thousands of people. We got nothing here. Send them home. Get them out of here. But he doesn't let them off the hook. He's not going to let them go that easy. He says, well, how many loaves do you have? What do you have to work with? Why don't you go see? Go see what you got. He's saying to them, you may have something at your very fingertips that you can't see, but I see it. So you go check it out. You go think about this. Don't even begin to assume that you're restricted to your own human limitations. Don't even begin to go there, because the human limitations did not stop you when you were out in pairs healing people. If you'd have thought like this when I sent you out in pairs, you couldn't have healed anybody. And you couldn't have talked to anybody. You couldn't have taught anybody. So don't you see that when I sent you out in pairs, we broke down all the human limitations. You were filled with the Spirit. You went, you did great things. I'm saying to you now, don't fail now. Go find out what you got to work with. Check it out. Because your human limitations, when you were with me in chapter 5, did not stop a demonic from being healed. And it did not stop the woman from being healed from her bleeding. And it did not stop Jairus' daughter from staying dead. There was plenty of people in those three stories who were naysayers. Go back and read them. And if they'd have fallen prey to the naysayers, that wouldn't have happened. He's saying to them, calm down. Look at the situation, see what you got to work with, and let's bring it back to me, God, and let's see what's going on. So there's incredible danger here when they don't do that. He said he landed, he saw crowds and all that, sheep without a shepherd. They were sheep without a shepherd because they did not have that point of focus in their lives that was God-given. And so disciples are people who follow Christ as their shepherd. They trust in something beyond themselves. Beyond themselves. And the danger here for him is he may well be looking at these disciples saying, you know, hey, you know, you're acting a whole lot like these people. Sheep without a shepherd. You're acting just like them. You're acting like you're confused. You're acting like you don't have a sense of direction. You're acting like it's just impossible for you to trust or to do anything. You just seem like sheep without a shepherd. So go find out what you got and come back. Come back. There's a real danger in only operating and living by human limitations. And we see that part of the danger is that once it begins, it's easy to continue it. It's easy just to embrace that sense of reality and continue to live that way. This is the end of the chapter. This is the end of the chapter. The feeding the people, you know, they fed them, they pick up all the goodies, they went on their merry way. They get in a boat, they head across the sea, Jesus hangs out for a while, starts to walk across the water, gets to the boat, and here's where we pick it up, scares the daylights out of the guys in the boat, and he says to them, y'all calm down, take courage, it's me, it's not a big deal, don't be afraid. Climbed into the boat with them. Now watch what happens. And the wind died down. Wind's blowing, the waves are breaking over the boat, everybody's getting wet, they're getting scared. He's walking, looks like a ghost. He gets in a boat, and suddenly he speaks to the wind, and the wind calms down. Now, is that the first time they've ever seen this? No, they saw it in chapter 4, and they couldn't believe that he had done that. They said, who is this that could do this? But they see it again. So this is not new to them. They see it. But look what, keep on reading. And they were completely amazed. He got in the boat. He calmed down the water. And they were stunned. They were shocked. They were flabbergasted. They were just amazed. Now watch what happens. The authors of the gospel want you to know why they were amazed. They were not amazed that he did this. They were like, wow, how can he do that? That's pretty cool. That wasn't what was amazing. What was amazing, what caused them to be amazed and confounded and confused was because they had not understood about the loaves. The loaves? The loaves were two or three stories ago. Yes. But don't you see that because they just couldn't reach beyond themselves and accept the challenge of God and watch and anticipate God to do a mighty movement in their lives for these thousands of people, they just got hard-hearted and they were confused and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then the next time something incredible happens in their lives, they're like, wow, how'd he do that? We don't get it. We don't understand. What's going on? They couldn't see it because they couldn't embrace the concept of what happened with the loaves. That just blew their minds that God could do this through. You know, who passed out the bread? Who passed out the bread? They did. Don't you think something would register? I'm walking along with this basket. I'm giving Don some bread. I'm going, I'll even give the choir some bread. They sang pretty good this morning. So I'm giving them some bread. And I'm going to give you guys some bread. And I'm looking in my basket. What's going on in my basket? I keep getting more bread. I keep getting more fish. Where's this stuff coming from? How's this out? Don't you think they would be thinking, how's this happening? This is so odd. This is so strange. And they would embrace it. Thinking, wow, this must be a work of God that I'm a part of. But the text says, nah, they didn't go there. They didn't go there. They didn't get it. They didn't understand the loaves. They didn't understand how this was happening. Even after they did the same things themselves. He said, you give them something to eat. Give them something to eat physically and spiritually. They came back and they said to him, all they had done, physical, what they had taught. What do you think they taught people? How to play bridge? No. They taught people the power of God in Jesus Christ. They taught them spiritual stuff. So they just got done doing what he challenged them to do, and they couldn't do it because they just couldn't comprehend it. They just got locked down in their own little limitations. And granted, you know, if he were to come here today and give me a little snippet of bread, say, hey, feed all these people that little snippet of bread, I'd probably look at him and say, you must be crazy. You must be nuts. Hey, ain't enough bread here to feed all these folks. We got three services. Come on. So it takes stepping beyond. Okay, I don't have enough bread to feed y'all. That's the situation. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to reach beyond my own limitations. I'm going to step beyond in faith. So the deal is I just got to comprehend the best I can and then trust beyond myself. I mean, you probably have never done this before, but I can tell you, and I think I already told you this, but I can tell you again. What time is it? Ooh, can't tell you much. I promise you that there have been times in your lives when you were in a circumstances or a situation and you had to reach beyond. I'll bet all of you have had to do that. If you haven't, you will. You're human and you live in this goofy world. You will. And I promise you that when you reach beyond, things happen that you couldn't possibly have imagined. Can't possibly see how that worked. can't possibly imagine why someone was healed. You can't possibly imagine how you got that job. You can't possibly imagine how your kids did this or your kids did that or your grandchildren this or that or whatever. Because you reach beyond yourself. And when you reach beyond yourself, you seek. And when you seek, He delivers. But let me reiterate. Don't want to make it sound like wish for anything and you're going to get it. He delivers what is best in our lives. And so, yes, hard things happen. And they don't get resolved the way we pray for them to get resolved. And tragedies happen. And hurricanes and fires and floods and all that stuff. Syria happens. But it doesn't mean He's not there. And it doesn't mean He's not working. It means that it's hard to see it. It's hard to see it. And I would say that the harder it is to see it, the harder it is to reach out for it. But once those guys started passing out that bread, a little light had to come on somewhere that this is not about them. This is about God showing them, if you just reach out, something's going to happen. Pray with me, please. We love you, Father. We don't understand a lot. And so you give us the gift of faith. And faith says, not only is it okay not to understand, but you shouldn't understand. Because if you think you got it, you don't. Faith is all about reaching out beyond where we don't know for sure, but only you do. And so our prayer would be the courage to let you take us and help us reach beyond. There's a lot of needs in this church. There's a lot of needs in this sanctuary at this very moment. There's a lot of lives sitting in this sanctuary. And those lives are connected to families. And those families are connected to families. And we can make a long list of the needs of the people of this one service. And you know it. You know what we need. You know what we crave. You know what we give you thanks for. Help us in every capacity possible just to continue to trust enough to reach out. And even harder, help us sustain the faith that says to us when things don't go our way, we can still reach out. We ask it all in Christ's powerful name, the one we reach to. Amen.